The opinions expressed on this WebmasterRadio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WebmasterRadio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Feeling better? Looking better? Making life better. It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Welcome your hosts, Byron White and Amanda Smith.
Welcome to the show, everyone. We're here with Jen Bick in a few minutes. I'm going to talk with, and we'll take a break before that. I'll just a few announcements for you. Amanda is out prepping for her wedding. She took the next few days off before she finally gets married on Sunday. So we all wish her the best of luck and hope she has a fabulous, beautiful, bright and sunny day, as well as a bright and sunny rest of her married life. Let's see, earlier today I was on the largest webinar attendance sign-up that I've ever been able to perform in front of, shall we say. It was a fabulous the monthly content marketing webinar over at Idea Launch. We have over 510 people signed up, excellent attendance as well. I think about maybe 60% attendance. And I haven't looked at the final numbers yet, but we had a ton of questions, and the webinar was on content marketing with competitive intelligence being the topic, how to use competitive intelligence to develop content marketing strategy. And I had a guest on, Mike Roberts, the founder and CEO of SpyFu, that gave us some really keen insight into how SpyFu helps identify the opportunities for organic success in the search engines and pinpoint literally the amount of money you're losing by not pre-creating content and or optimization strategy around certain keywords as they're compared with your competitors. We also talked about the identity of sort of who's testing and who's not testing with pay-per-click ads, and how you can save yourself a ton of money using some of the new technology that SpyFu rolled out that allows you to do neat stuff. So anyway, people should chime in and tune in to that slide deck. I'm going to pop it up on slideshare.net later today so you can take a look at the deck. And I was talking with Mike afterwards, and we decided that we need to do another one of these next month and make it a little bit more enticing. We had some great questions in the end. The webinar actually lasted like an hour and 10 minutes. We just had a lot of questions that continue to come in after we gave our spiel deal. So look for that. There's a lot of exciting things coming on around the bend with regards to advancing content marketing and all kinds of stuff. But meanwhile, back to the Life Tips show, where I'm going to interview Jen Bick today. I believe I always get her last name wrong, but she's a Toronto-based freelance writer and a marketing consultant and owner of a neat company. She makes her living creating content, and she's doing a lot of content creation for the Idea Launch site on the Life Tips site. So we're going to talk with her and interview her and learn more about what she's doing to make the world a better place with great content. So back in a minute, everyone.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break.
Your company's website sucks.
You know it. Everybody knows it.
So get a to-do list to fix it.
On Target, a subscription service from Future Now and Brian Eisenberg, monitors your website 24/7.
Analyzing the actions of every potential customer.
It gives you a to-do list. It tells you exactly what to fix and how to fix it.
So that more of your visitors do
what you need them to do.
On Target pricing starts at $1,000 a month.
See more at futurenowinc.com/ontarget.
Are you happy with your landing page performance? Discover how to improve your landing page performance with ConversionCritic.com, brought to you by Engine Ready. Turn your underperforming landing pages into cost-effective sales-producing machines. Be sure you're not wasting your precious PPC budget. Conversion Critic Tools give you the ingredients to create high-converting landing pages. You don't have to be an expert to use Engine Ready's Conversion Critic Tools, but you'll feel like a landing page pro. Take the guesswork out of increasing your conversion rate. Visit conversioncritic.com and boost your conversion rate for free. That's www.conversioncritic.com.
This is a test of the PRWeb content and news delivery system from PRWeb and PRWebAuthor.com. If this was a real release date, your story would reach more than 30,000 journalists, 250,000 RSS subscribers, and just over 30,000 unique websites. PRWeb can reach your target audience online, drive traffic to your website, achieve high rankings on search engines, and get your content on top news sites like Yahoo News. Editors are available 24/7 to help you optimize your content for maximum exposure to over 70 million people in the U.S. alone. If this were a real PRWeb release date, your website would have so much traffic, you'd be tempted to duck and cover. If you have an online marketing emergency, go to PRWebOffer.com for 25% off. PRWeb, the premier online release news and content distribution service.
Affiliate marketing is changing rapidly. Stay ahead of the trends with Affiliate Marketing Insider. Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Affiliate Marketing Channel. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm. And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Jen, welcome.
Thanks, Byron.
So, Jen, it's just nice to hear your voice, Jen. I tend to smile every time I hear it. So tell us a little bit about your background, your career. You're a Toronto-based freelancer and, enjoy, as your description on bio reads, you enjoy hanging out in your yoga pants and working from home and do some work in the nonprofit sector and for some boutique marketing agencies. Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing, and then I'm going to ask them hard-hitting questions about what's going on in your career. Go ahead.
Sure. I work in yoga pants at home as a freelance writer and marketer. So I work with just a whole range of clients. Some of them are some big internationals. Some of them are small businesses that really want to improve their web presence as far as like the web content just on their website, if they want to get started on a blog or have a regular blog, even dabbling into other areas of social media like having a Twitter presence and that kind of thing. So I work with them. I consult with them on how to do it on their own and give them tips, or I even get hired to do it for them as myself or kind of as sort of a bit of a ghostwriter behind the scenes for them. So that's sort of how I spend my days.
Got it. Tell me a little bit about how the freelance writing industry has changed in your mind from your perspective in the last few years.
Well, it's gotten quite a bit larger, and I really only started freelancing full-time, really just the last couple years. I worked full-time between then and did the odd job here and then, so I can't really say from an insider's perspective how it's changed, let's say, in the last, 5-10. But just from talking with other people that have done it, there's definitely more competition. There's more people out there that think that they can be freelance writers, mm-hmm. which has posed some interesting challenges for those people in the industry. Mm-hmm. And there are more websites out there that kind of act as hubs for freelance jobs, people looking for freelancers as well as people that can perform that capacity, even in not just writing but also graphic design and programming and all kinds of different, mainly web-related ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How important is optimization, and how interesting or not interesting has it been for you to learn the game of peppering rich keywords and doing keyword research and creating titles and meta tags and meta descriptions? Where does that fit, a great writer like you, how does that fit into your mold?
Well, it definitely fits in there now. I think when a lot of people started freelance writing, I think they viewed SEO as something that a programmer did and not something that really impacted them. They just provided the content and they didn't have to worry about things called meta tags and, you know, whatever. Now if you want to do a good job, if you want to add value to your clients, and if you want to show that there's actually a return on what you do, you have to be thinking about optimization, period. It kind of sucks if that's not what you went into freelancing to do, was to think about those kinds of the more scientific aspect, I suppose you might want to say, about writing, or the, you know, like the hard numbers bit about writing for websites. But now if you want repeat business and you want your clients to do well, you definitely have to think about how the words that you place there and, you know, whatever kind of like linking strategies you use are going to improve traffic to that site and improve the chance of that client hiring you back, because that's what they're mainly looking for.
We're really find it interesting. You're one of a few writers at Idea Launch that, of course, we work with quite a few writers at Idea Launch. But in comparison to Writer Access, where there are literally, I think there's over 1,000 writers now that have put in their profiles and registered over there. What's your take on working with Idea Launch and the freelance assignments you're getting from there and what's happening over there? Do you think we have a good model over there? And how has Word Vision, how have you found Word Vision to be to work with over there? Because that's, you know, not every agency out hiring freelance writers has them use this crazy tool, Word Vision. You know,
yes,
how's that fitting into your program?
What do you think
of that tool?
I mean, for a lot of writers, SEO and like keyword strategies isn't our main capacity. It's not what we all went to school for. It's, you know, a lot of people started writing on a non-online basis and then transferred their skills onto the online world. And so a lot of people recognize that they need to have, you know, SEO and a real science to what they do. But they don't necessarily know how to do it. And so with Word Vision programs like it, you know, you have the tools right there that you can just sort of plunk in your work and see how it stacks when it comes to its searchability and its optimization. And that helps you hugely in making sure that what you're doing actually is effective for your client on that level. You know, you still have to be able to write in an engaging way, in a conversational way. You know, it's not about, you know, just putting in keywords and having them show up. You're not going to attract anyone or keep anyone that way. But when you work with an agency like Writers Access and you have those kind of tools at your disposal, they're pretty priceless, I'd say. And it is definitely unique. I do work with some different companies and a few different freelancing hubs, and you do have that level of support, you know, so that to help you to help your client. So it's an all-around great tool, and that's definitely what has been a great appeal to me for writersaccess.com.
What are some improvements that you think need to be made overall in the freelance world? What are the next new age of representation of writers and/or finding companies that they're interested in working for? Do you like the model of Writer Access? Matter of fact, we just opened up Writer Access to make anyone now be able to post a job over there, free of charge, actually. We know we can't keep 1,000 writers busy all day, every day. And really, we really wanted to create more of an open source environment to allow anybody in the world to go connect with writers like you and find them on Writer Access. So we also are competent enough in our own strategic abilities at Idea Launch that we just want to be a client of Writer Access, and when we need to write, you know, access great writers. But where would you like to see a company like Writer Access go? Some of the choices, to give you some hints as to what we've been thinking about, are things like, you know, SMS text messages when somebody wants to hire you, you know, sort of a try before you buy insurance plans. So a prospect client would make a deposit into Writer Access so you know for sure you'd get paid if they ask you for a test trial. You know, what are some other, what have you always wished for out there, you know, that we might be able to accommodate, or somebody else listening might be able to build a better model than Writer Access? Who knows? But in that model over there, what is interesting for you that you could imagine would really be cool and make you excited about Writer Access?
I find that some of the bigger challenges with some of the freelance hubs or websites out there is that it is such a free market of people that are looking for things and people that are offering things that it's tough sometimes. In particular, I think, for a North American writer to get paid what they're valued at. Just because, and there are fantastic writers from all over the world, but they live in areas where there's a lower cost of living, and so they can compete at a much lower dollar value. Mm-hmm. And yet writers, companies are still looking for someone that can speak conversationally, can really get the like pop culture vibe of today to really connect with the North American audience. But they're sometimes comparing this to prices that you couldn't live off of in North America that other people are offering. And it's definitely not a slam against anyone that can offer prices in that way.
Yep.
But it's set a really odd perception of what writing is valued at. So, you know, there's, as far as what a company can offer, I think a lot of it is actually even educating clients about, you know, what would you value someone that's writing your website at? You know, what is your website worth to you? And maybe even imposing certain minimums. You know, I see it every day where people want, you know, a blog post for 5 cents you know, they want to see, you know, articles for a dollar or whatever. And they're really focused on keywords. They're not focused on content, but then they complain when the content isn't the conversational, wonderful thing that they think all articles should be. So it's a really tough balance. And if there's a way to better educate clients, to understand the value of good writing and good content, you know, whether it's even just like the Twitters that go out or the daily blog, that kind of thing, it really does have a huge impact on your business reputation, and people don't seem to want to pay for it. So any way that you can spread the word through a freelance site would be helpful, I think, from the writer's perspective anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the challenges is pinpointing value it's always in the eyes of the buyer, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, how do you set up a way to offer, you know, screening and levels of proficiency and other, you know, areas of analysis? And I'll offer some insight and then ask your comments on this, because we've tried to bring a flavor of this into Writer Access, but maybe we need to do more of it. So when I started my first company back in 1992, it was a company called Freelance Access. It was a graphic arts placement agency, and we represented copywriters, of course, and writers and graphic designers, illustrators, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And at the time, MacTemps was a leading provider of graphic arts professionals because of their name MacTemps and how most graphic arts software was being developed for the Mac platform. But anyway, MacTemps was using resumes to represent graphic arts professionals, which made no sense to me. You know, a graphic designer, you know, walking around with submitting resumes for job interviews, you know, a graphic designer should be submitting their portfolio, you know. So I invented, you could say invented, but I concocted, might be a better word, an opportunity for designers and copywriters and production artists and illustrators to physically come into our office and scan in printed samples of their work and print out a die sub print, an 11 by 17 die sub print, which our sales reps then took on the road and began showing prospect customers and clients that might be interested in hiring them. And on top of that, FileMaker Pro was kind of hip back in those days in a very robust database. So we built a FileMaker Pro database that had what we called the burdensome questionnaire in it that that allowed a graphic arts professional to you know, enter all of this incredible data. How many projects have you completed in industries? You know, how many years of software experience do you have? You know, da 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 da. So it dissected all of this data. And I tell this to you because what ended up coming out of this was something really cool. We were able to put graphic arts professionals into groupings and categories based upon what they were qualified for, and to divide them up into four levels of proficiency. You know, level one was sort of entry level, and the opposite end was an experienced veteran. And we were able to not only print out these die sub prints, but we had a very sophisticated way to rationalize and justify what rates were.
Mm-hmm.
So that was ambitious. So what we, if you go to writeraccess.com right now, for anybody listening in, you know, we actually came out of the gates with, you know, okay, select your industry experience and then select the level of proficiency of SEO experience. We actually used to have three other categories in there. And it began breaking people out into different levels. When you actually go and look at a writer's portfolio, you again, you know, start seeing different levels of proficiency. I should find yours and go look at it. But you know, we've done sort of a little visualization of kind of a tag cloud of showing bigger, you know, if you've got more banking experience, that shows up in a tag cloud as having more experience, and then you can look at the little I button and see the description that they've read. So, you know, we've worked really hard to try to help writers rationalize their experience and their price points. But I think you're right. What else can we do? What's the next level beyond what I've just described? How can we validate price points? And I have some answers, but I want to hear yours.
Well, I think that that's fantastic what you just described. I think it's hard to say. I haven't really given too much thought to it. But you know, perhaps as I think more ROI metrics get developed, it's also useful to show people, you know, if not necessarily if you pay a writer X amount, you're definitely going to get X result back, because you can't quite pin that down. But you can say, you know, this is an example of a site or a client of ours, or you know, what have you, that hired a certain level of writer, and this is the quality that resulted in that, and these are the results that they're getting from that now.
Yes.
You know, like even its own sort of cloud of return kind of thing.
Yeah, really so savvy. That's great thinking.
People really can see their own value. It's not just I enjoyed reading this article and, yeah, that person had experience, but, look at what happened as a result of this article being posted. Because that really does is what talks to clients is you know, sure, they want to have a nice article up there, but they want to have business. So if there is some sort of way to kind of get a snapshot of what the ROI is on good web content based upon work done by people at certain levels, that would be, I think, of really good value to everyone involved.
Right. And it's not just the level of the writer, which I think is interesting, but it's the level of writing that they were asked to do, right?
Yep.
Because it's, you know, we have assignments that are sort of news articles or SEO articles, you know, that are not as meaningful as some of our premium articles that our writers are creating for clients. then there's other variables, of course, like, okay, well, who optimized the content? Did the writer optimize it, or was that done, you know, by a professional shop like IdeaLaunch that built in internal link strategy and carved out a whole SEO plan, et cetera, you know?
Of course, yeah.
What part did the writer take versus what part did other people around the writer? It's hard to claim an ROI metric, so it makes it really, really challenging, right?
Mm-hmm. Nope, definitely.
But, you know, all good points, but, you know, I'm with you. I love this ROI sort of concept and tagging that to a writer that was part of campaigns that performed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if you've seen some of the new additions that we added into Word Vision, but, you know, this is the very problem, Jen, that clients are asking us. You know, they're basically saying, you know, hey, guys, we're paying you a lot of money. You know, what ROI are we going to get from this investment in content? You know, show me the money. You know, show me the ROI. So
right.
We've spent the better part of a year and a half trying to fine-tune Word Vision to make it the ROI meter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is, and I think that we could somehow tag this actually quite easily to an individual writer and then port that data over into Writer Access. I think we can do this, and you're inspiring me to, you know, change the production schedule in my tech department to look at
I'm
this.
Sorry, but, tech department.
but the theory on it would be the following, and let me know what you think about it. So,
sure.
So, you know, theory A on this is, in Word Vision right now, we've got as granular to, and this is not theory, this is actuality. You go into your welcome screen and you're a client and we're tracking 10,000 keyword listing positions and the pay-per-click price and the search volume and all this cool stuff, and Word Vision is helping the writers to score content, SEO strength, and to get recommendations for what keywords to pepper in content, and all is seeming great and all is well. Writers have cool tools. You know, our clients can now see the improved listing positions that are in the top 100. They can see the improved listing positions in the top 10. And you've seen that screen, right? You know what I'm talking
yep.
about, right?
Very familiar.
So all that's groovy. And actually, that's how we're tracking your success now, right? It's like, hey, Jen's creating content for us and becoming, you know, the guru of content marketing and learning and reading and posting. And, you know, we want to see our listing positions go up, right? Or you're fired, right? Probably not.
No
that
pressure.
Radical, but you're doing a great job, and we are getting moving, are getting positions. But check this out. There's also another chart in there, which we just added last week, and there's some other drop-down menus. What we can now have clients do is to drop in the amount of traffic that they got in the course of a month.
Mm-hmm.
They can also drop in the amount of pay-per-click money or online marketing expenditure they had. Right, they can also type in the number of conversions that happened. Right, so three simple fields of information: traffic, pay-per-click price, and/or online marketing spend, a dollar amount on a per month basis, and then the number of signups and clicks on a month-to-month basis. And from that data. Out. Not only can you have another screen that shows how your traffic increased on a month-to-month basis, but you can now start looking at how your user acquisition cost decreased on a month-to-month basis, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
which is hugely important.
So now we're tracking how many content assets did Jen publish this month on IdeaLaunch, and how many total assets did we publish on content on IdeaLaunch. And then what is the impact the following month? Did my traffic go up? Did my user acquisition cost go down? Right?
Right.
That's what we're able to measure. And you are the contributing writer amongst some other people, including our own internal staff, but we can look at how much content you're publishing versus our other staff and begin to attribute that improvement with listing positions, traffic, and decreased user acquisition costs, we can attribute that to a writer. That's cool stuff, don't you think?
Oh, most definitely. And I think when you're able to, you know, harness all that kind of information and also have good quality content, you know, that seems to be like the real recipe for success when it comes to web content marketing.
Let's talk about that in our final, pontification here is probably your philosophical insights to the freelance writing world. Mm-hmm. What's your take on quality, right? Quality is a very, very subjective term. How do you define quality from your subjective opinion as a writer?
Sure. Well, I always view that web content needs to be informative or entertaining or both. So really, if you're writing something that I personally view conversational style writing as being pretty top as far as what people are looking for and what attracts people, that's great. And if you're getting comments, if people are retweeting what you've sent, if people are referring back to your article and chatting about it, that means that there's something to it generally. It's tough to say, you know, this article has the best quality to it versus, you know, not. But ideally, you want to have a voice to what you do. You want people. You want to talk directly to people. You want to talk directly about what people are interested in. It's not really about you. It's more about them. Mm-hmm. You're always looking for feedback, obviously. If it's your client that really enjoys it and they're, you know, that people in the office are talking about it, that's a nice first step because those are the people that are, you know, they're already invested in what's there and so they want to see what's there. But as you use the tools that you had described that can draw people in with, you know, like using the keywords properly and getting your rankings up, hopefully that will get people to your site, but what will keep people to your site and have repeat visitors is really the quality of the content. So that counts hugely.
Mm. Yeah, it's funny because as you wove in a lot of wonderful adjectives and pronouns and nouns there, right? You know, and then also threw in the tracking and engagement aspect, right? And
right.
It's all of those things. That's the problem right there is that the writer, today's online writer, is faced with so many challenges, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, make it engaging, make it compelling, make it sticky. Let's look at time on site. You know, let's look to see if it is, you know, how many people email it to a friend. Let's look at the metrics. Let's look at the data, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like there's more time being spent analyzing content than there is spent reading it or just saying, wow, that was really great, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, sure. And I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, really, in the end of the day. But one of the things that I think we really lose sight of, and when I first started Life Tips 10 years ago, and I think we're coming up on our 10-year anniversary. I got to remind myself of that. My wife was reminding me of that. But the end of it is, I was really big on the humor thing. I'm like, these tips need to make people laugh, you know? Mm-hmm. And you know, everyone thought that was funny and cute or whatever. But I was really meant it, you know? If every tip on Life Tips had humor in it, would that not be a cool site to just go read and browse around?
You know, oh, definitely.
But no one believed me. But mm-hmm. but I do
yeah,
think
no,
that
I have a
there is an
and,
obligation. There is an obligation in the definition of quality content to put a smile on someone's face. There ought to be an obligation. What don't you think?
I think so. I think that you need to entertain in one way or the other. You know, it's about engagement and. You need to separate yourself from a Wikipedia entry. That, you know, those are purely informative and they're great to have. They're a reference. But if you want to have fans of what you do, then you have to appeal to them. And humor, I think, is the safest, best, most effective way of doing that.
Uh-huh. And it's just so surprising to me that we can't back up that statistic with facts and data, right? I mean, what are the most popular videos on YouTube? Stupid videos that make you laugh, you know?
Pretty much, yeah.
You know, but that should be telling us some data, right?
Oh, definitely.
You know, Jay Leno now on primetime, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That should be telling us that. That's pretty good writing in there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Can you ever imagine your 6 o'clock news would be filled with something more than dry, boring stories of, you know, a pickle truck that dumped on the highway, you know? And, you know, I love the seriousness of weather people, you know, especially when there's a little bit of traumatic weather happening. You know, they want to get right in there and be serious about the weather. I find myself laughing at that. Like, this is weather, you know?
Right.
Do we need dramatic reporting on weather? Who could
That way, it is sort of a form of entertainment.
maybe
you know, just like a horror movie isn't necessarily funny. Sometimes these weathermen, you know, they'll ramp up, you know, the terror level of, you know, the rain cloud coming up.
yeah.
It has its own weird form of entertainment almost. It's interesting what's what we've been geared toward now.
Yeah, and I think it's great. I hope we move closely because I think there's more creativity in that type of writing. It's harder to write. You know, it's harder to be funny with every tip you write if you have a tip assignment at Life Tips to create 101 tips for a book. You know, I welcome anybody to apply to become a guru of Life Tips. It's a free service we offer to publish a book for people, but it's hard to do, you know. I'm not a guru over there. I think I am actually for the SEO guru spot, but I'm telling a colleague at a show that I want to give that up because I don't do enough with it. But it's tough stuff. It's been great chatting with you today, Jen. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Byron. I really appreciate it.
Enjoy the show, and until next week, everybody, I hope your life's a little bit smarter, better, faster, and less wordy and more engaging. So thanks again for listening, and everyone. Thanks, George, for the production, and everyone at Webmaster World, blah, blah, blah. See you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.